the music is the vehicle that we use to share the way of Jesus with people. And the way of Jesus is kindness, is peacemaking, it's love, it's the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And I think for us, it's always been about, like, our calling isn't to be on a stage. Our calling is to represent Jesus well.
Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio, and Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or Twitter at Between Grooves. Now, here's James and Aisha.
Episode 269 of Between the Grooves. I'm James Curtis.
And I'm Aisha Woods.
Welcome.
Welcome. And for you, I can say welcome back, because I heard you've been running the streets and hitting festivals and stuff.
It's been crazy busy.
Has it?
It's been a great busy, but when you go to a festival, you can plan as much as you want. You can be ready and you can prepare. But everything changes once you get there.
Yeah, you better know it.
You know, so
be prepared mentally for whatever may change.
Exactly. So it's been interesting. It's been a lot of fun. But, you know, you can prepare as much as you want and just be thankful when you do get a chance to sit down and chat. So, but this is our road trip series where we get a chance to catch up or chat with some artists or groups at summer festivals in the Christian music scene. It's a big thing in the summertime. I mean, these guys go from festival to festival, right? That there's no break very often. The summer festivals is nonstop.
Yeah, I remember those days. I literally would have time to come home, wash clothes, and repack a bag, and then it was out again.
Living the dream, right? Let's
some
talk
of the best times.
let's talk more about that after our first guest, because I think people have this false visual of what the life of an artist is sometimes.
We can
get into that in just a bit, but let's get to our first guest. Now, these guys have had a number of hit songs, a whole bunch of albums since they formed in the mid-1990s. Had a chance to chat recently with lead vocalist Dustin at the Summer Music Festival Kingdom Bound in Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. Dustin from Sanctus Real. So I thought I'd start by saying that there's someone I know. I'll say he's a distant relative, okay? He was in a very popular band just under 20 years ago. He quit the band. He was very disenchanted with what was happening with Christian music. He said, and I quote, "I wish there were more bands like Sanctus Real."
Okay.
Didn't say any other band except for Sanctus Real. So obviously, you're high in his books. So why? why does it have to be this way? Like, people quitting music, quitting Christian music because of stuff they see. And, and like, there's stuff you hear, rumors and everything else. There's stuff you see, but why? Like, and what can we do to avoid stuff like that?
Man, you went right for it.
I'm sorry.
You know, there's a lot to be said for this. And I think you asked the question, why does it have to be like this? It doesn't have to be like this, but Christian music is made up of Christian of people.
Yeah,
right? It's not, and some people, you know, they come into it, and they come into it fully engaged in, hey, this is why I do what we do. But the problem a lot of times is that this is a business, and a lot of times people come into this business. Everything is kind of a business when you go full time and you do something.
Yeah, it's your career,
right? So, there's this balance that you have to find. But this career, there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of eyes. There's a lot of attention. There's so much that can kind of rip away your belief system, your core. You see things and you hear things. They kind of rip away your core of your belief system.
Yeah.
And I think in our modern culture, you know, there's so much information. There's so much pressure, by the way. And, you know, your friend, he quit and he's looking at it. I will say this. I joined 8 years ago. I was the lead singer left, Matt, and I joined 8 years ago.
I have no idea who this Matt guy is, but anyways, sorry.
No, and I was, I wasn't sure what to expect when I got in the industry. I was a worship pastor, and I've been both disappointed and pleasantly surprised, because there are some people who love Jesus, and the whole point is the purpose. And I think what happens for us is it's hard to maintain purpose when you have so many things pulling your attention.
Yeah.
And for us, I think one of the reasons why we've been able to maintain, and for me, it's always about there's nothing like the way of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? It's not about the attention. It's not about even about the music. The music is the vehicle that we use to share the way of Jesus with people. And the way of Jesus is kindness. The way of Jesus is peacemaking. It's love. It's the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. And I think for us, it's always been about, like, our calling isn't to be on a stage. Our calling is to represent Jesus well, whether it's on a stage or here with you on the on the radio. And we've been able to ground ourselves a little bit with that, and not look at it from a point of view of like, hey, we've got to get a million people to like this song or it's going to fail, right? My favorite verse in all of scripture is in John 2, and Jesus is doing these amazing things. Like, he's healing people. It's incredible what he does in John 2. But at the end of it, they basically want to make him king. And scripture says that he did not give himself to them. He didn't, because he knew what was in their hearts. And I love that, because so often we're like, all of us, right? Our culture, we look at things from a perspective of taking criticism. But for a lot of us, it's much harder because we get so much praise. And Jesus looked at praise differently. He knew why they were praising him. And it wasn't because of the fact that he was God and they loved him. It was what he could do for them, how he made them feel. And I think for me, he said, that's not why I came either. Right. So it's kind of this balance of praise versus criticism. And I think in our Christian music world, we get elevated on a stage, just like even in the secular world, right? Our fans do the same thing.
Yeah.
And the reality is, the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of equality of worth. Right. And so keeping that balance of like, this is just what we're called to do. This is what position he's put us in. And I think when you do that and you stay grounded, you just make it about the way of Jesus. And I hope, and I think it's possible, and I think there are people in our industry. I would never say that it's just us, because I know people that it's about the way of Jesus, and that's the reason they do it.
So is the elevation component of it the mistake, maybe?
I think it's natural.
I agree. I think it's natural. But, I heard someone say recently about, they were talking about pastors in general. And, of course, a lot of pastors have fallen away or quit mm-hmm. the business, as it were, quit being in ministry and stuff like that. And then the other part of it is that, people sometimes feel that pastors are elevating themselves above their congregation, where it's like, we're all the same. Like, there's you're no more special than me. We're all God's kids, and we're all just as special. So
absolutely,
you don't get any special treatment being a pastor or in Sanctus Real than I do in radio or the guy listening to the radio.
I'd take that a step farther. I would say Jesus said, if you want to be great, you wash feet.
Yeah.
Right? I would say those of us who get the opportunity to be in front of people, as Christ followers, that's a responsibility to serve, right? To do the opposite of expect special treatment.
Right.
We offer ourselves to have extra weight, or we offer ourselves to serve. And honestly, the wear and tear of our life, where you travel and the fatigue, what people don't realize about our lives sometimes is that we're talking to you after having not slept for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this physical and spiritual balance of mm-hmm. maintaining, like, okay, we got to be Christ-like, but you don't understand that I haven't slept in 2 days.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And so there's always this kind of like, we have to understand the physical side of us, that you're not yourself if you haven't eaten, if you haven't slept. That's when you hear a lot of stories of artists and people go, well, they're not good people. Well, sometimes they just haven't slept in 2 days.
Right? Yeah.
And so there's this, for me, it's like this balance of like, okay, I have to know myself well enough to know that when I'm interacting with people, whether I'm tired or not, I have to focus, because it's easy to snap. It's easy to do this thing. But saying what you said, I just feel like, we have to take that a step farther If you're blessed to have a platform, then you're called to serve, not be great.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people get the perception that if you're in a band or if you're an artist or you get your songs played or streamed, you're living the high life. and it's, wow, what, you know, I aspire to be that.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, no, please don't.
Yes.
Because it's grueling for you guys. It really is. Like the traveling, the time away from family, the like nonstop schedule. So you're playing at a Christian music festival, summer festival, and they're a lot of fun, but you're always going from gig to gig during the summertime. Like it's nonstop. And you know, you do sound check, and then, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you're just twiddling your thumbs, just goofing off, scrolling on social media. No,
I'm here with you.
You're doing interviews. you're you know, doing the meet and greets with the people that maybe have paid that extra or that, you know, you guys want to bless or whatever. And then you're on the stage, and then you're exhausted. Last year at Kingdom Bound, I had Darren Mulligan from We Are Messengers hit me up before. It was sometime in the afternoon. Said, how are things going? I said, well, you know, it's been a little slow as far as, you know, getting with artists and musicians and bands and stuff like that because of post-COVID. A lot of people are just flying in and then flying right out again. Yep. So it was more difficult. And he puts his arm around my shoulder. He says, no worries. When I'm done my set tonight, as soon as I leave the stage, we'll sit and talk. And so he did, but he was exhausted.
Yeah.
He's dripping in sweat. And you could just see in his face, he's physically exhausted. Like that is a... not only a mental strain, a physical strain, a spiritual strain, I'm sure, with all of that. So how do you deal with all of that?
Because
we're second day into this festival and I'm exhausted, you know?
I give two answers to this question a lot. I say, one, a human being can only do the best they can, right? That's number one. So you work as hard as you can and do what you can and love people the best way you can. Two, I grew up in a home where my dad worked in a factory for 30 years. He got up at 4 in the morning, worked every single day, and he was exhausted all the time. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think what we do is hard.
Right.
Right. Like it's a perspective, right? Like I don't want anybody feeling sorry for us because of our chosen field.
Right. But it's your chosen field and there are parts, there are components of it that are tiring and nonstop. And
yes,
you're kind of used to that. But it's, I guess my point is, it's not the big glorious.
No, it's
what
grinding.
You see on stage, what you see on the videos and stuff.
The hard part for us, I think what people don't realize a lot of times is everything we do is human interaction.
Yeah.
Right. So when we're tired, we can't hide from, like, we can't just disappear. People will think we're rude and they'll go, well, they're not representing Jesus. But the reality is we haven't slept.
Right.
I have a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow morning. Right. Like, so it's just this one thing after another. I think for us, it's that part of it. Our band is naturally introverted. We call ourselves professional extroverts because we can be if we have to be, right?
Right.
And so for us, it's maintaining the level of kindness and awareness that we feel like Jesus has called us to, even when we're tired. That's the challenge. Like for us, that's always the challenge, to make sure that, because every single person is unique. Every single person deserves attention. Now, there are people who will try to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a sensitivity and awareness to know when to put your foot down and say, like, don't take advantage of our tiredness, you know. So there's this great balance, I think, that we work hard to achieve, even though we're tired. And most people do. When I took the role,
when I took the job.
Yeah, right? Yeah. People thought it was like winning, you know, American Idol or something, like, oh, you made it. I never had any idea how grinding this really was. Yeah. Like I had no idea the wear and tear. I had no idea how hard it is to sing night in and night out when you're tired, your body's not physically there. I used to judge people, be like, oh, they were pitchy tonight. You know, they're not that great. And then I started doing it. I was like, those people sang 7 straight nights. Like that's brutal. And so there was this mercy and there was this grace that I had to accept for them and for me. And that was the hardest part. People don't realize the grind of day-to-day interactions with hundreds of people, and the early mornings and the late nights and the work in the daytime. And so, but I mean, I love it. At the same time, I love being around people. I love being able to spend time hearing stories. I love hearing people's stories because everyone, like I said, everyone's so unique. And the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of worth, a quality of worth. And so, you know, we get separated by a stage, but the reality is it's just the talent he gave us. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a talent. Ours just happens to be in our culture, one that puts us on a stage and people go, oh, they're famous. But it, in the kingdom, that means nothing. It just means we're blessing you the way that we were gifted to do. And you bless people the way that you're gifted to do. You do it on radio and people that are listening. You just have
My mom. Yeah.
Sorry. That's great. You're blessing your mom today.
That's right. So being in a band, it's I'm sure, very dynamic given different personalities. Yeah. And you said you're all kind of introverts mm-hmm. by trade, not professionally. So how do you divvy up the workload? Because there's other stuff besides actually playing an instrument or singing and whatnot. There's the stuff behind the scenes, the social media and the planning and everything else. Yeah. So how do you guys divvy that up so it's fair?
We try to. It's not fair. Chris does most of that because he's a workhorse and he loves to do things really well. So he takes on a lot of things, Chris does. He's our guitar player, founding member, and I call him our driving force. And a lot of that's because he's behind a lot of the quality things that we do. There's great video work. What we try to do is take the things that we're good at and then use those things. And so we try to look at, okay, this is your gift. Like, you take that. Now, as we've gotten, for lack of a better term, as we've grown, the band has done better over the last 4 years. It's gotten harder because there's just more stuff.
Yeah.
And so now it's really about managing. The three of us are kind of equal owners. And so now it's about managing and bringing people on board to help us. And part of that thing is conversations all the time amongst the three of us just about health, like about maintaining health and maintaining. And if there is an issue, we get it out right away and we talk about it and we make sure everybody works hard, but we work hard in different ways. And so I think for us, it's always being aware of each other, right? We don't, it's not like, hey, do this thing, because Chris is a go-getter. Mark and I are both, I'm pretty laid back as a person, like very laid back. And so we have to find the balance. We're always looking for the balance, the things, and I end up doing things like this, right?
Yeah.
So we have...
Give Chris a break, come on. Yeah,
we have a great... I think, you know, over the last 8 years, we have developed an amazing system where, you know, we spend a lot of time together. Where you can get sick of each other real fast.
Yeah. It's almost worse than family.
We know each other well enough to know when breaks are necessary.
Right.
When space is necessary. We know that we can disappear if we need to for a couple hours, as long as we know where we're supposed to be. And it's just necessary. You know, we're all in our 40s, and so we're all have our thing, and it's just constant communication, just health in a lot of ways.
You mentioned your three equal owners. Yeah. So can we talk a little bit about the business side of things?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people don't realize that a band is, for the lack of better words, a corporation.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Like it's actually a company. Mm-hmm. So how does that work?
For us, well, because it is equal, and you know, we set things up in such a way where
do you have a board of directors meeting?
It's just the three of us,
right? Exactly. Every day,
we do. We talk, and you know, we've never really had a major disagreement. We're usually all pretty much on the same page, and you know, I think in a lot of ways, our biggest thing is not letting business get in the way of our purpose, right? And so we're very careful about the way the business is set up and the way it's run. But if you break it down, we make music. That's our product. If we don't sell music, if it's not heard, our families don't eat.
Right.
And so there's two ways for us to look at it. We have to make music that people enjoy, but also we want to make music that moves people. And so it's everything we do is a balancing act, right?
Yeah.
From business to ministry, all this stuff, because you can't do the ministry unless the business is set up correctly.
Right.
And I think, you know, for us, it's been a good 8 years. I mean, we've had one argument in 8 years, and it wasn't even that big of an argument.
And so, you won, so it doesn't matter.
No,
right?
I did not. I don't know if anybody. I think in the end, we probably compromised,
right,
as we usually end up doing. So yeah, it's really healthy. You know, of all the bands I've been around, this is probably the most healthy by far.
Right. So you mentioned the business component, you mentioned the ministry component, but you're not worship
But you could be.
It's semantics, you know.
I know, but the reason why I suggest that is because, and I've mentioned this before, but is it a show or is it a time of worship?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with both.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with both because
right.
Why can't you enjoy a show?
You know, I look at it this way. I'm exactly right with you, because I think having the ability to do Christian entertainment is not a bad thing.
Right.
You want your kids to come and enjoy something. At least they get to hear about Jesus in the process. I was a worship pastor for 15 years beforehand, so I love to lead worship. Our shows are worshipful, right? But we're not saying, hey, you're coming to a worship service, but we are saying, come to our show and you're going to worship.
Right.
So to me, it's a little like a semantics thing where we classify these two things separately, because I lead worship in our shows, but we also do perform, for lack of a better term. We want people to have fun.
Sure.
Right. We want you to come, bring your kids. We want you to have fun. We want you to smile, clap, get up, jump up and down if you want to. But at the same time, know why we're here. But not everything, you know. We use this word worship all the time, and we always make it music. But worship is so much.
I know, right? and it's so reverent too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's more than just that too.
Yes, and I'm a musician who's like, we overplay music.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like I'm like, we make music too important, and there is so many people because there are people who are not really that worshipful, and they'll lead worship. Because of the music, it comes out great.
Yeah.
But then there are people who, man, I'll sit in a, they're not that talented, but their hearts, and you can just kind of feel this thing. And I think sometimes we worship the music, which we have to be very careful about, right?
Right.
Like, 'cause worship for us, for humans, to a creator that is so big, looking at Niagara Falls today, that was a worshipful moment. I was there this morning,
mm-hmm.
staring out at this incredible thing. And that was a worshipful moment for me. Like, God, look what you created. And so I'm a big proponent of saying, hey, there's music's great. It moves our emotions.
Yeah.
But it's not just, that's not the only worship there is.
So now going back to the original point that I raised about people in the business, like maybe there's some encouragement you can give to people that are in a band that, like, you know what? I've had enough of this crap. I've had enough of this business side of things.
Yeah,
I've seen too much that is impacting my faith. Like, you've seen and heard of people in Christian music that said, I don't even know if I believe in God anymore, right? So what do you say to something like that?
I say, make it your own. I think, stop even looking at other people. I think half the problem we do is we focus so much on the industry itself. The industry is made up of individuals. Individuals make individual choices. And we allow individual choices to impact us in negative ways. And sometimes it comes down to you making an individual choice. The thing is, everyone can be a part of that change, but you have to do it individually.
Right.
Everybody in our culture wants to change the whole system without realizing that you can't change the system with human nature the way it is unless you change yourself, right? And so I would say to those people that what the industry or business is does not change anything about Jesus or the way of Jesus. And it's your responsibility, not somebody else's in the industry, to represent that.
Sure.
And so while that sounds a little harsh, I think that's what Jesus would say. I think he would say, look, this is about you and me and how you represent me. And, you know, I don't think we could ever change anything. You have to understand, in business, there's an artist. And then there's people who make money off an artist.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of artists don't realize that. But those people, that's how they feed their families. That's how they make their living, like my dad working in a factory. And so I don't even look down on that and say it's wrong. But the awareness of it will change your perspective on the music business, right? These are human beings that are trying to make a living. Now, they might do it in a way that you're not in agreement with or you don't feel in your heart. That's up to you.
Right.
And so I would say to throw out all of the good stuff that you could do, don't do it, right? Like, just look like Jesus. Have a foundation that's deeper than your surroundings.
Yeah, I think I don't have a problem with any artist having a conflict in their life and deciding they want to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a problem when they point the finger to what they think the problem is.
Yeah.
When maybe they need to first look inward. And again, I'm not blaming them specifically either,
right?
Because it could be very well be that what they're saying is true, But then what can they do about it? Or what can we do about it? How can we help?
And I would ask those artists this question. Knowing human nature, all the things we've done growing up, all the places I've worked, all the ministries I've worked in, why would you expect different?
Yeah.
This is human nature.
Yeah.
This is who we are.
We're all screw-ups.
We're all selfish at heart. This is why we need the way of Jesus, why we need Jesus in our lives. I don't always understand why people expect differently.
Yeah.
Like, that's why
are you surprised?
That's why we have to be this. That's why we have to work so hard to be self-controlled, peacemakers, why we individually have to love people the best we can. So that somebody will say, except for Sanctus Real. Right? I mean, that's what we're trying to get to, where we can say, whatever day that guy saw us, we did our best to look like Jesus. Now, there are probably other days, other bands are like, probably not. But that day, that's who we were trying to be. And hopefully, way more days than not, that's who we're trying to be.
I love how he just brought everything back home and made people better understand the realities of being an artist and being on the road and maintaining a lifestyle that points people to Jesus 100% of the time, even if it's not, you know, if it's not your best day. When it's all said and done, you're still pointing people to Jesus as best as you can, you know?
Recognizing that these artists are human.
Right.
You know, and sometimes sometimes we put them on a pedestal and we think that they are to be perfect. I suppose that's the one positive thing of social media, where sometimes they will, you know, post pictures.
Just be vulnerable.
But going back to what you said earlier before the conversation, we were talking about expectations, and you were mentioning about the fact that when you did the touring, you would go home and you'd only have time to do laundry and whatever else, then hit the road again.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I suppose, for anyone who travels for business or whatnot, you go home.
Sure.
I mean, you still got to cut the grass. You've still got to open up the mail and pay the bills. Otherwise you're going to get late payment charges. There's all of the regular household chores that need to be done. You can't really do that on the road. Not effectively.
Right. No, not at all. And that's also the great thing about having a support system and folks at home. Fortunately for me, when I was out on the road touring and what have you, I wasn't married. I didn't have any children. So I was able to do it. And of course, my parents, I lived at home at the time. And but now, oh my goodness, honest to goodness, I don't know what it would look like if I had to jump on the road every weekend at this point in my life, you know? So I think it's really just about understanding your limitations and embracing the season that you're in. 'Cause these guys have families, you know? So kudos to them, 'cause they're doing it.
When you were on the road, did you see things that kind of made you think, what have I got myself into? Like, you had this perception of what these artists were and what you, you know, what they, you thought they stood for, maybe, or maybe there was just like, because you hear stories about, you know, some weird stuff that they might do before they hit the stage. You know, I've heard I've heard of one guy who will, you know, take some strong liquor to calm himself down or something. I don't know if it's true or not. You just hear things, right? And
it probably is true.
But did you see stuff like that?
Definitely. Oh yeah, certainly. And early on in my career, when I first started to get on the road and first started touring, I was put off. I was shocked because I thought that everybody who said, I'm a Christian, I thought they were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that everybody who sang Christian music had a relationship with Jesus. And so that for me was a harsh reality. And it's a sobering fact. And you just learn to let your light shine even brighter, you know, because it's like you'll come in contact with people and again, they have that expectation, but letting them know that we are not perfect individuals, but we're striving for perfection. We're striving to let our light shine as best as we can. But to, gosh, see some of the things that I've seen on the road, it's like you have to know where you are and where you stand in your relationship with Jesus and hang on to that, cling to it. One thing that makes me cringe is hypocrisy, mm-hmm. you know? And when I saw it early on, honestly, I think I was desensitized over the years, you know, after seeing it so much, but even the more, like I said, I'm like, yes, we're out here, but we need to represent and do what we know to do and point people to Jesus. We're flawed individuals, but when we allow people to see that we're flawed and they can relate to us, I think it makes for a difference. And not try to hide it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I appreciate what Dustin said. It was good stuff.
I guess my issue with all of this, Aisha, is someone with a platform needs to be an example. And I understand they're not perfect,
absolutely.
Right? But if there's certain things in their life that's not right and they're not getting it right, people are looking to them as examples,
absolutely.
Right? People are looking to
yes.
them and saying, I want to be like this person. I want to, you know, that's what we're meant to do. We're supposed to be displaying Christ in our lives. And if we're not, mm-hmm. but people are mm-hmm. following us, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, if you're not,
that's it.
You know?
You're preaching.
I think, you know, we each have that responsibility to make sure that we're right with God.
Right.
And I suppose we have to discern, us individually have to discern whether the person we're following, you know, does or lives the life that they are meant to live or that they're supposed to be living for God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not trying to deflect responsibility, right?
Right.
But I just think it's that much more important for anybody with a platform, anybody that's, you know, trying to be an example or trying to be a public figure, or they are a public figure, they need to sure. demonstrate God and not, you know, their own stuff.
Right, right. I agree with you 100%.
Hey, we'd love to hear comments from Between the Grooves listeners. Any feedback, anything that we haven't thought about, maybe a different perspective, leave us a comment and it just might create another conversation. It might just create something to revisit and look back on, reflect on, or have another discussion about. So leave us a comment, and maybe if we get enough comments or a different perspective, it's something that we can talk about in the future. Oh, and also check out sanctusreal.com. Check out everything that Sanctus Real is up to.
All right, so right here, we're going to check in with Daniel Mulkey, and he's got some artist advice for us.
Define what success means to you. For a long time, I defined it as being on a big stage, making a lot of money, and that's not what it is. It's about, are you pleasing God? Are you getting on stage? Are you leading people in worship? Are you connecting people with the answer? And so that's where I'm starting to find a transforming in me, and God transforming my heart, is defining what is success. What are you really trying to achieve? And for a long time, I wanted, you know, as a kid, I was like, I want to be a worship leader. Okay, well then I get on, then I'd lead worship, you know, in our youth, you know, and then I'd be paid to lead worship at our youth, and then I'd get on stage at my church and I'd lead worship for the main services, then I get paid to do that, then I go on weekends. And it's like, but here I am still saying, you know, I want to be a worship leader. No, what you're saying is, I want to make, you know, I want to be Chris Tomlin, or you want to be X, and you want to be someone else. But defining success for me has been, it just in the recent months has been really important to me as I've kind of released this album. And so just saying, you know, success is if I'm walking in the will of God and I'm doing what he wants me to do, then I'm a success in his eyes.
What? It's not about the money?
Hey, listen, the Bible says, forget not all of his benefits. So I think that that's part of what comes along with the whole program.
Yeah. I think success means different things for different people, but I also find that often we're wrong. You know, we think we know what success is, and then we're wrong.
Yeah, we'll have an idea.
And then we realize what it really is, and then it's usually something completely different. You know, if it's the money and the fame, I think a lot of us might start off that way and then realize that's not really success. Maybe success is just, you know, having, you know, a regular income and providing for your family. And being able to, I find, for me, I'm not going to say I know the answer that I know success, what success is, but I've found in recent years that what's really valuable to me is time.
Right.
You know, time with friends, time with family. It's not all about money, right? If I had a choice between making, you know, a few hundred dollars this afternoon or spending time with my family, be like, yeah, I think I'm just going to chill and spend some time, go to the park with my family. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, money's not the determining factor for me.
Yeah, I think it also goes along with seasons and where you are in your life at a certain time, you know, because success for me, maybe 10 years ago, it looks a lot different now. But ultimately, knowing that you're doing what God put you here to do, man, there's nothing like the fulfillment that comes with knowing that you're doing that.
Deep, deep. Sorry. I just didn't have anything to say. Like, you've said it right there. So that is the music. Justine is telling us it's time to go. But we are going to continue our road trip series. Next week, and other guests, we're going to catch up with someone at one of these Christian music festivals. You'll have to tune in to find out who.
Thanks for listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends, rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook and Twitter at Between Grooves, or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.